I'm Lori.
And I'm Jeffrey.
And welcome to Southern Charm Magic, where we talk about the magic and the mishaps of planning your next Walt Disney World vacation.
And hopefully bring a little magic to wherever you are in the world.
We'll give you our honest opinions about what we think.
But always with just a little bit of Southern Charm. Been a while.
A long while.
Lori, what have you been doing?
Oh, school. Oh, and my child graduated.
Just a minor detail that your son graduated high school.
I feel like that was a whole month ago and it was only 2 weeks ago, I think, huh? 3 weeks.
So y'all listening to us, me and Lori are like real life friends, or at least we pretend to be. But no, we really are. And we have not seen each other in a month. Like literally a month, we have not seen each other because Lori has been dealing with the child graduating high school. Her daughter is like an awesome dancer and constantly doing stuff. And not to mention, Lori started something called summer school.
Yes, and it's been rough.
That does not sound fun, Lori.
No, it's literally I sit at my desk all day and all night.
That sounds just like a bucket of fun.
Yeah, but I have thrown some little fun things in there. We've been a little crazy throwing some spur of the moment trips in. My little cousin is going to the Super Regionals. He's one of the best pitchers in the country, and we've been watching him.
And who does he play for?
USM, University of Southern Mississippi.
That's
kind of sad because I like LSU, but it's been pretty cool watching him.
This is a Go Tigers leaning podcast, but I think thanks to your cousin, LSU is no longer in the running. So,
you're right.
So, you know, it puts you in a tough place. But otherwise, we say go Tigers. But if they're not in the running, then we cheer for other people.
So we've been a little crazy. We've had lots of things going on. It's starting to slow down now.
But
I also didn't see you because you went on some weird trip with weird outdoor stuff.
That's one way to put it. Weird outdoor trip.
Oh, my.
Lori means that I took a trip to see mountains that were not named Space, Thunder, or Splash.
Right. Who does that?
Not normally me. I mean, this is a Disney World trip planning podcast, but I took a 10-day vacation not to Disney World or really anything to do with Disney.
Not at all. Well, you had some people next to you with Disney.
Yes. So I think you can find Disney wherever you are, but Lori is talking about my trip to Alaska. So I took a cruise to Alaska and to Canada and did not do the Disney version. There is a Disney cruise to Alaska. So if you have done that, please let us know. I want to hear about it. But right. I took a non-Disney cruise and I was so mad, Lori. We were one day behind the Disney boat. Like,
oh, no.
Cruises, like on your schedule. And the Disney boat was like one day off from ours. So people were like, oh yeah, Disney was just here.
They have some big news about that Disney, the new Disney ship that came out yesterday.
Well, you are going to be on that new Disney ship at some point. And I am so jealous. I don't even want to talk about it. But no, we're going to have to do a whole episode on that when you do it. That's the Disney Wish. And what was the big news? They released it yesterday, right? It set sail.
Yes.
From Germany.
Yeah, that's the big news. You got it.
Yeah. And someone posted earlier online, you could see on YouTube, you know, the Disney ships have unique horns. You know, when they don't go bonk bonk. You know, they actually play like When You Wish Upon a Star or something. Like it's musical ship horns. So it's fascinating. If you want to check that out, if you're into that. But we definitely want to talk about Disney Cruise Line down the road, if not doing a whole, actually we will just do a whole episode about it when you get back from your trip, which is not for a while though, right?
Yeah, no, November.
Okay.
Middle of November.
Yeah, well, we definitely have to trade notes on that. I'm so jealous. But yes, I am back. And so the minute before I left to go to Alaska, I actually planned my next Disney trip. And so I'll have to share more about that later. But there is a Disney trip back on the book. So back to your regularly scheduled programming from Jeffrey. But we have a ton of news. So we haven't been around in a month. Sorry, y'all. Like we just said, me and Lori have been going 100 miles per hour in different directions. But we are back and we have a lot of news to cover with y'all. And I think it's looking like all good news again.
Yes, it is.
Which I'm so excited about. But one of the things that's closest to my heart in the news department is Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. I absolutely love this event at Disney. It runs from like August. I think it starts in August, right? Mm-hmm. And runs all the way through Halloween. Mm-hmm. But the good news is, so previously in the past couple years, they did not have Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. They had like Mickey's Halloween
Bash.
Mickey's Boo Bash or After or Hours.
Yeah.
Like Halloween After Hours, something like that. And so now we're back to the full scheduled programming, which includes the Headless Horseman, the Sanderson Sisters from Hocus Pocus, which I absolutely love, Jack Skellington's Fireworks. And then they have these ride overlays at Space Mountain, Monsters, Inc., Tea Party, and Pirates of the Caribbean. Have you seen any of those,
Lord? No, I haven't. It sounds pretty interesting, though.
Yeah, I've been to the Halloween party twice, and I've never seen the ride overlays. So they're kind of newer addition, and I'm excited to see that.
Like, what are they going to do, you think?
I think at Pirates, they have live actors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think they have live actors.
I guess kind of like the Jingle Cruise on the Jungle Cruise?
I think so. I think it's like that. And then Space Mountain, I guess they just do some projections and maybe some spooky music.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I have tickets. I bought tickets.
I've been selling a whole lot of tickets. I think that if anyone is interested in going, I would definitely buy the tickets early because I feel like every one of those are going to sell out.
That's a very important point to note. Like a lot of people, I am one of those that like kind of wants to like, you know, wait on things, see what's a good night to go, mm-hmm. check it out, but they will sell out.
I mean, especially with it being the first year back since the not Halloween parties. I think it's going to fill up really fast. So seriously, if you want to go, I would definitely start making plans and then figure out when and buy the tickets.
Yes. Get on them while you can. 100%.
Yes.
In Epcot news, hopping over to Epcot, Disney released some more news about their overhaul of the center of the park. And we've actually seen a couple versions of those. And this is a change from what they've previously released. I mean, you remember that, Lori? There was like this big, like two-story thing they were going to build, like a festival center.
Yes.
And all that. Now they've replaced that with something called Communicore Hall and Plaza. And so they're going to do that with an outdoor stage. And, you know, it seems like it's scaled back. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there, but I am just excited for construction walls to come down.
Right. Me too. Yes.
It's just been, I'm ready for that to just be done. And then the new Moana thing is coming. But over there, the big news out of Epcot is that, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind is open to the public. You know, they've been doing the previews, but now everyone can go ride it.
Okay.
And you've got to get your lightning lane or your virtual queue.
Right. And everyone's been saying how amazing it is.
I cannot wait. I'm ready to go check it out and see what it is. But honestly, just getting to Epcot without a construction wall would be lovely. I would love that.
Right.
But back at Magic Kingdom, we've got some good news over there, Lori, right?
Yes. The Harmony Barbershop is back, which if you don't know, you can get your haircut on Main Street. And it's really awesome. It's really, really cute for like little boys' first haircuts for their first birthday. It's so cute. That is back. And the Bippity Boppity Boutique has announced that it will be back soon. And they've taken the closed signs down. I don't know the exact date. I don't think they have said an exact date, but they did say it was going to be in the fall of this year.
And how popular is Bippity Boppity Boutique?
Oh, it's so popular. My daughter did it until she was 10 years old, almost 11. It was her last time to do it. Like, it is so popular. It is one of the best memories you'll have with a little girl when you bring her to Disney World. It's so much fun. They also do little boy, like a night package too. So it's not just for girls.
Oh, neat. So isn't it like Pirates or something for the boys?
No, that was the Pirates League. And I don't know. They haven't said anything about that.
Okay.
But they do like they just fix the boy's hair, like spike it up, and they give him a sword and a shield. And it's real cheap. It's like $25.
Oh,
for the
nice.
Boys. Just okay. if their sisters are there, they have something they could do too. Rhett did it, I think, once or twice, and it was really cute.
Nice.
But it's bad. I mean, a lot of people have been waiting for this. I know I have some trips booked at the end of fall, and they were all waiting if they were going to cancel if it didn't open.
Really? Oh, is that important to people?
Yes.
Wow. Well, also at Magic Kingdom, I'm so excited about this. The 4th of July fireworks are back.
Yes.
Previously, they would just do like whatever their regular nighttime show is at Magic Kingdom. But there is a special like patriotic July 4th show. And they used to do something called Perimeter Fireworks. And that's where they do fireworks all around Magic Kingdom Park and all around Seven Seas Lagoon. We haven't seen that in quite a few years, I don't think. But if you've never seen the July 4th fireworks, I've done it once. It was the most crowded and most hot I've ever been at Disney. Absolutely insane, but an incredible, incredible fireworks experience. So that's very, very good news there for my fireworks fans.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty.
Yeah, and outside of Disney, there is this new place on iDrive. Have you seen that, Lori?
I've seen a couple little posts about it. It's still a Disney. It's owned by Disney, huh? The store?
Yeah, yeah. They're doing like this official store in a Disney Vacation Club Preview Center, but it's, yeah, like it's not weird. Not at Disney, like by Disney.
Who's going to go all, I don't know how many people actually leave Disney property when they're there. So that's weird.
I don't normally. Do you?
I mean, it depends. I have certain trips I do and certain trips I don't, but not very many. So it's weird to me.
Yeah. I don't really get what they're doing there, but I guess we'll see. Over at Hollywood Studios, they have a lot of new food coming, right, Lori? Yes. Did you see some of the stuff that was coming?
I saw the little things that was like alien saucers.
Alien saucers. Desserts.
You didn't see?
Oh, like the desserts.
Yes.
Okay, like not the sci-fi. Ride. Mm-hmm. Not the ride. Okay.
Oh, no. Like a little, they look like a little alien saucers with antennas.
Oh, fun.
Little dessert.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fun. And there's something like, I think at 50s Primetime, they're going to do like a stained glass dessert. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't understand.
I think because we don't cook or anything, we don't understand how to make things.
Oh, that's true.
So we can't figure it out.
Not
we just eat them.
Not my thing. Not my thing. But one thing I know that you know about and I know a little bit about is brunch.
Yes.
And there is going to be a new brunch restaurant coming to Disney Springs, right? What's it called, Lori?
The Summer House on the Lake. It's a restaurant from other states. They have them in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have brunch. Rosé all day from a rosé cart. That sounds amazing.
Rosé. I know you love some rosé. I like frosé.
That's my favorite thing in life, I think.
Yeah, I love some good frosé. But they have this, like, this restaurant is, you know, kind of a very small chain, but apparently they're famous for a rosé cart. You just get rosé all day. Well, and I know I've seen, like, shirts, I think at Disney, that say, like, frosé all day or rosé all day. Like, people love their rosé.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
Well, our next piece of news, I'm going to let you handle, Lori, because you know about this.
Minivans, they're back. They're coming back on June 29th, which is exciting news because, like we said, I think we talked about this before, we didn't know if they were coming back. It was so hit or miss. We heard the rumors they were, and then we heard they were sold. They sold them all. But they're coming back June 29th, and this is really cool because they look like Minnie Mouse, first of all. Right. And then they do come with two car seats in them already, so you don't have to worry about it. And they drop you off closer to the gate than your regular buses or anything else. So it's really convenient for kids for families with little kids.
Yeah, that is such a big deal. You know, I went on my last trip. There were a lot of kids in the group.
Yes.
And that was a deal. Like if you were, you know, now that your kids are older, and I'm normally not with kids, you think, okay, I can just hop in a Lyft or an Uber, but it's a big deal to have a car seat. And I think just people love staying in the Disney bubble. So getting into like a Minnie Mouse themed van with a Disney employee, I believe they're all Disney cast members that drive these things. Like, I think that's a sense of comfort for people. And I love having that option. I've never done it, but I like having the option.
Right. I've done it once. I mean, it's a little more pricey than regular Uber and Lyfts, but you know for sure they have a car seat, so you don't have to worry about trying to figure out a car seat deal with the Uber. So it's very convenient.
And speaking of, I mean, we haven't even told people what our topic is today. So hopefully you saw it when you clicked on it. But our topic today is taking the kids to Disney and specifically traveling with younger kids. And so we are going to bring in a friend of mine who I've traveled to Disney with often, who now has her own kid. And talk about that. So the car seat thing is very relevant for today's purpose. But before we get to that, before we get to our topic of the day, we have one more news story. It's not about Disney World, but it is about Disney that caught my attention over the week. And a few people have asked me about it. Laura, you saw this news story?
I did see this news story. I saw a lot of TikToks on it.
Where do you, okay, well, tell people what happened. What happened?
A couple got married in Disney World, which I've been seeing a few of these elaborate, crazy, awesome weddings on TikTok in Disney World. Like,
oh, was the wedding at Disney World?
I thought so.
Oh, I thought it was not at Disney.
Okay. Oh, maybe not.
They never said where it was, so people weren't clear if it was.
I thought it looked like it was in the American, where people get married.
Oh, did you see pictures? Okay, I didn't see the pictures.
Thought that I could be getting another wedding that I saw on TikTok combined with a news story that I read. Who knows? But a couple gets, I mean, it had to be if Mickey and Minnie. So they got married and they spent their money on Mickey and Minnie Mouse instead of food, which if you know anything about Disney weddings, to have Mickey and Minnie come to your wedding, if you're married in Disney World, it's a huge charge extra. Like, I mean, thousands of dollars to have them at your wedding, even though you're getting married in Disney World. Also, if you know anything about them, their food packages for a wedding are way expensive. So they spend their money on Mickey and Minnie at their wedding. I mean, my feelings on that is way off from yours because, hey, if I get invited to a wedding at Disney World, I don't care if it has food or not. That's really cool. And I really would like rather have my pictures taken with Mickey or Minnie than have food. I'll eat myself somewhere else.
In my position, if you don't got food at your wedding, I ain't going. No, I mean, but look, I completely respect that couple's decision. It's their wedding. You know, that's their call. They want Mickey and Minnie to be there at their dream wedding. That's their call. But, you know, we're from South Louisiana. Weddings are very much a good time down here and normally with good food and all that. But I mean, they couldn't pass they couldn't get a sandwich tray. I mean, come on.
No, they don't have sandwich trays in Disney World.
What do you mean they don't have sandwich trays? They don't have sandwiches in Disney?
But I do know they better have given some champagne or something. But because I don't go to weddings that don't have alcohol. I ain't gonna lie. But I mean, come on. We need to find this out because if it was in Disney World, I understand. But if it was not, then yeah, there's kind of
an issue. We need to see what's going on. Apparently, they said that the thing that throws me off, they said that food was available for purchase at the venue. So I guess they could walk, you know, if they were at the America Pavilion, they could walk to Regal Eagle or wherever to get food. We're going to have to do a wedding episode.
Yes.
Wedding and engagement episode. I don't know if that'll be the same episode, but we're going to talk about food versus characters, but my money is always on food. Well, we have a great, great topic coming up that's going to be helpful to a lot of people. So we will be right back to talk about that. Looking to hire the best live entertainment for your upcoming party or event? The Chase Tyler Band provides you with top, high-energy, quality music, both original and covers, all over the Gulf South. Find them on Facebook under the username Chase Tyler Band. Well, y'all, I can count on one hand the number of people that I will go to Disney World with and actually enjoy it. And one of those people is one of my oldest friends in life, Olivia Keene Byers. Olivia, welcome to Southern Charm Magic.
Hi, guys. Happy to be here.
Yay. We're excited about having you.
So, Olivia, we have some questions we like to ask our visitors here. Well, first of all, tell us about yourself, like who you are and where you're from. But then we're going to need from you your favorite Disney character and your favorite Disney attraction, if you can. So, Olivia.
All right. Well, I didn't have any warning about this.
No, you did not. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Welcome.
My name is Olivia Byers. I am an attorney in New Orleans. I practice real estate primarily, and I've known Jeffrey since about sixth grade. We went all the way through to law school together. I am a mother to one little boy. I love Disney World. And all right, favorite character will be extremely easy. If you know me, I have long red hair, so I've always been an Ariel girl. Little Mermaid came out in 1989. I was born in 1989. I don't think that was a coincidence. So I will be Ariel until my funeral home, where I may request to wear a fin. And my favorite attraction is going to change day to day, but I think at the end of the day, Haunted Mansion is going to be my number one there. So.
And that's why we can stay friends. So for those that don't know about how much Olivia is a Disney fan, she had gotten an argument. She got married in a Catholic church. We are both Catholic. And they would not let her walk down the aisle to Part of Your World. That is my favorite just example.
It was not an approved song by the church.
Not apparently not a religious song. I did not get involved. I feel like we could have made the case about, you know, something, Jesus is a part of our world or something like that. But alas, they did not let her walk down the aisle to that. But that is the level of fandom that Olivia has. So she is one of the good Disney fans and a Disney World pro. And that's why I've trusted her to bring her on this podcast and talk to y'all about traveling with kids. Because me and Olivia have been to Disney World several times together. Olivia, I don't even know how many times we've been on the same
trip. We've also been to Disneyland Paris together and Disneyland California together.
Oh, I forgot about that. See, that's...
Yeah.
See,
yeah, I didn't even know that you've been to Disneyland Paris, Jeffrey.
Really?
We didn't talk about that? Like my... I really want to go soon, actually.
I've been three times, which is kind of embarrassing, but would go again.
I am not a huge... I've never been a traveler until I've gotten a little older. I think when COVID happened, I realized how short life is, and I've been traveling. So I've been talking to my husband about going to Paris. I want to go to the... Disneyland Paris and Vouv, but you know,
in my opinion, Disneyland Paris is the prettiest of the parks. It's gorgeous, and it's also very easy to get to, convenient. The train goes straight there, yeah. And the castle's
I never knew this, so good. I seriously never knew Jeffrey went there.
Well, that's a whole other story because me and Olivia had kind of a wild adventure in Disneyland Paris, and that was just
a platonic one.
The platonic one for our listeners out there. But it was an adventure because it is very much unlike the domestic Disney parks in several ways, like similar but different. Always, but that's a story for another day. But Olivia, like she said, now has a son. So you know, she's seen her Disney travel change a little bit about how she approaches the parks. And so I know that, you know, other people our age are going through that in different ways. And I think that there's a lot of tips that parents need before taking their young ones to the parks. And
so, Olivia, I know that your baby's kind of small. How many times have you been with him?
So George will be 2 in August, and we have been twice, and we're going again in September. And I know what a lot of listeners are going to think. Why would this woman with one small child be an expert on traveling with kids? And you're right. I have nothing on you families with 3 and 4 kids. But I am absurdly type A,
yeah,
and I research everything to death. And so I have some good tips of what has worked with us so far. And I really believe that they would probably work well with bigger groups. Plus, I have been with 10 drunk adults as well, which is kind of the same thing.
You've been so many times, and now you know the complete different trip that it is. So yes, yeah, so you definitely can already, I mean, from your first time, you probably knew what to do the second time, completely different than what you did the first time. So I think you're going to have great tips.
Thanks. I hope so.
But one of the big questions, Olivia, is, you know, so George has been twice, but you know, how young is too young to bring the kids? Like how long would you wait before bringing your kid on their first trip?
So when I tell people that I've already brought George, and the first time he went, he had just turned 1. Their reaction is, why would you bring a kid that young to Disney? And sure, he's not going to remember it. And if I was only planning to bring him once or twice as a child, I would not bring him that young. I would certainly wait until he was old enough to have memories. But he loved it. He had a great time. He will not remember it. With that being said, I don't think that I would have brought him younger than 1. But that's my personal preference because we were really big on a schedule, a very rigid schedule. And I think it would be really hard to do that in Disney and keep up with that schedule. Plus, I have a COVID baby. So I was a lot more cautious with him as a very young child. had he not been a COVID baby, my answer may be a little bit different. But prior to turning one, I was really hesitant to bring him into crowded places. Mm-hmm. But I would probably say one. Also keep in mind that kids are free under three. So Disney is expensive. We all know that. Bringing him now, we can still get a ton of enjoyment. It doesn't cost anything extra to bring him. Kids also fly for free under two. So if you can squeeze in a trip under two, then free flight, free ticket, that's right. Probably a $600 or $700 savings mm-hmm. there. So I would try to sneak them in.
Fair enough. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you've made the decision to go, you know, that's a personal decision for people, I'm sure. But what about packing? So you have to pack for both, you know, travel and the parks. I mean, y'all as both of y'all as moms, you know, Lori's kids are older, but she went through all this. What do you need to remember to pack in your bags?
Yeah. And actually, I'm glad you said that, because I'm sure that Lori has some really great tips that I would love to hear as well, with more experience with multiple kids of different ages. But for me, and this is an overarching theme to my Disney planning in general, is logistics. I want everything to go as smoothly and as quickly as possible. I don't want to wait in lines. I'm really good at avoiding lines and disasters there. So for traveling, I try to minimize my packing. And I know that's tough, especially with kids. I never check luggage. When you check luggage, you lose your luggage. I always bring it on with me, even with George. One neat thing in Disney is they have a bunch of grocery delivery services, including a 2-hour Amazon Prime delivery to your hotel rooms if you're staying on Disney property. Really? So you don't need to bring 100 diapers. Ah. You can get them when you're there. You don't need to bring all the food and the formula and all of that. You can get that there. So I would bring enough supplies for a day or two just in case you can't get there in time. Of course, multiple pairs of shoes. I won't go through a whole packing list for Disney essentials, more just baby essentials. But keep in mind, it's very hot in Disney World. Always bring a fan. And I also am a huge advocate for bringing your stroller that you're most comfortable with. Yes, it's a little bit extra effort, but it's so nice to have the stroller. They can nap in it. If they want to get out, you can put your stuff in it. And I wouldn't rent a stroller there. That's my personal opinion. Not everyone feels that way. I just think it's worth it having the stroller that you're comfortable with and that your baby is used to. So, Lori, you have that.
I agree with that now. Back years ago, I did rent them from the parks just because the bus situation with strollers and all that was kind of hectic. But we went with my niece, who will be 2 in October, and we brought her stroller. I mean, but strollers are a lot different than they were back then when I had kids, because my kids are 18 and 13. And my sister did, you know, she has the Upa baby stroller, and it was wonderful because it's so easy to close. And Parker, we were able to stick. My sister bought a fan, like you just said, and put on the little bar of the stroller, and everything just Parker stayed in it. And Parker, and she's the pandemic baby, and I think this is pandemic baby issues. She's so used to every single thing. If you change one thing for her, she's done and over and game over. So I think that's a really good tip now, because I think strollers have come a long way, and bring the one that you're used to for sure.
So even if you fly, you can bring your own stroller? I see people like check.
If you have a stroller at the New Orleans airport, you can skip the line. They have a stroller lane. Yeah. Bring it just to skip the line at the airport. I didn't know that.
And then I've never flown with a stroller, but can't you bring it all the way to the gate and then they put it underneath?
Exactly. Well, different airlines have different requirements. Like American has a 25-pound limit, so I had to check it when I flew American. Oh. But I always fly Southwest to Orlando, and Southwest will load it for you, so you can bring it all the way to the gate, and then they check it, and you just grab it when you get off the plane.
Yeah, I thought so.
Super easy.
So speaking of flying, obviously we're still mourning the loss of the Magical Express from the airport to Disney World. I don't know if I'll ever be over that, but But, you know, we have to think of the best ways to get from the airport to Disney if you are going to be flying with your family. Olivia, any tips on that?
So this has been the single hardest travel change in my life since having George. And we travel a lot, period. We go to Disney a lot. We take about 4 vacations a year. Normally one is to Disney and 3 are elsewhere at the insistence of my husband. And this has been an issue everywhere we go because you're so used to just being able to call an Uber, hop in and go. You can't do that with a kid. So the last time we went, I was able to find a private car service with car seats. And I was very happy with them. I have the name. It's called Nairn. I'm probably mispronouncing it. It's Nairn. It was $65 each way.
That's cheap.
And that was for up to 4 people. And that included your car seat. Yeah. It wasn't bad. And actually, they picked us up in a Mercedes Sprinter van, which fit like 15 people. Oh, I might need that
information. Like,
I don't know if they always do that or if that's just what was available, because I think it was supposed to be a town car. But so it's just us 3 in this massive van. But it was really great. On the day that we left, they texted me when they were on their way. We were having breakfast. We met them at the hotel. Very easy. Similarly, there is a service in New Orleans that we're members of called Crew, like Mardi Gras, K-R-E-W-E. You have a membership too. Sounds much fancier than it is, but they are fantastic. They have car seats. They'll take you to the airport. So if you're in the New Orleans area and you want car seats to the airport, very easy. And I think that's $37 each way. Really, really good. But this next trip, and Jeffrey, you'll be the guinea pig with us. Uh-oh. We are going to try a new option, which is I'm going to actually bring a travel car seat with us on the plane. Small, only weighs 7 pounds. I'm going to attach it to my luggage. And when we get off the plane, we're going to call a normal Lyft. And my husband is going to install the car seat himself in it, which Lyft says is allowed as long as you provide the car seat. And I wouldn't have done this when he was smaller. But since he's older now, I trust the travel car seat better. Of course, it's still standard rated and everything. But it is it's for a bigger child. Well, so we're going to see how that works. And if that's easier with just being able to call the Lyft that way and not rely on having to set up transportation ahead of time. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Wow. That's a lot. And Lori and I have discussed at length about the different options you have available now from the airport. There's still Mears Connect, which was the service that ran Magical Express. There's a private service from Mears, as well as a Sunshine Flyer, which
there's
is
a lot. There's a lot of them now. I heard of another. I thought she was going to say the one. I know of
the
one.
Train.
Oh, that's the flyer girl, one. A group of women. They started their own because, you know, it's so hard to find Uber and Lyfts with car seats. Some women started their own company, but I had some clients that use it, and it was really expensive. So the one you said, I'd like to know that. I need to write
that down. And the one I use was a lot like if you've ever booked travel in Europe, where you contact them ahead of time and they send you a voucher with the contact information. So really not hard, but you have to do it ahead of time. My personal concern with using some of those other options, the buses, is I like to maximize my time, and I don't want to wait on everyone else. I don't want to spend 3 hours on a bus, especially with a baby. So I looked at the pricing, and it wasn't very cheap for those either. So I would only do that as a last resort, or maybe if I was a huge group, but I want to maximize my time. If I'm going to be in Disney, I want to be in Disney, not on a bus.
And so one thing I looked up earlier today, me and Lori talked earlier, but that the minivans are coming back. And I wanted to know if the minivans would service the airport. And per the Walt Disney World official website, they say not yet. So
that's what I've heard as well. And I'm going to, I was going to talk about the minivans as well, but more in terms of transportation within the parks, because they are not, I didn't know there would ever be an option at the airport, but I would imagine they'll be at least $100 each way if they are available.
Likely, very likely so. So once you're off the plane, you're on your, you're in your Lyft with your self-installed car seat, or you're in your service or with one of the moms that Lori discussed, where are you headed, Olivia? What hotel do you think is best with little kids? Does it matter? Does it even matter what hotel you're at with younger kids?
So I already warned Jeffrey on this. My opinion is probably very different than other people's opinion on this, but and I mean this in the least pretentious way possible, maybe. I solve a lot of logistical issues on vacation with money. I like to pay to solve my problems.
Oh, my husband.
So with that being said, post having a child, a lot of things that I may have not thought the cost was worth it is now very much worth it. And so since George, we've stayed at a lot nicer hotels, but not necessarily because they were nicer, but because they offered a transportation option that was not a bus.
Right.
And Lori already mentioned it. The bus is tough with the stroller. Mm-hmm. You have to completely collapse it. A lot of times there isn't space. If you have anything in the bottom of it, it falls out. If you have food in the tray, it gets everywhere. Mm-hmm. So when we're there, I want to minimize getting on that bus. Now, it's impossible to completely avoid it mm-hmm. unless you have a car, but I'm not a fan of that either. Yep. Because of alcohol, mm-hmm. mostly. Yep. But I would, and when I say transportation opposed to the buses, this is my personal preference.
Right.
I want to be able to walk is number one. Not everyone feels that way. In fact, a lot of people feel very strongly against that. I like being able to walk to the park from my hotel because I know that it's going to take me exactly mm-hmm. the amount of time it takes to walk. And I have complete control over that. I'm not waiting for a bus. I'm not waiting for a boat. I'm not waiting for a monorail. So right. that is my preference number one. So right off the bat, that puts us at the Contemporary, which is about a 10, 12 minute walk to Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. The Grand Floridian is technically walkable, but it's farther.
Yeah, have you seen that thing? Woo.
Yeah, it's far.
It looks so far.
And from there, I mean, technically you could also walk from the Polynesian if you're crazy, right. but wouldn't recommend. Right. From there, I'm a really big fan of the Epcot resorts. Mm-hmm. And in the back, there is the Boardwalk, the Beach, the Yacht Club, the Swan and the Dolphin, and the new Reserve. I'm actually a really big fan of the Swan and Dolphin. I have some secret tips to get some really good deals there, bougie on a budget. So I can save that for a later day.
Yes.
But those hotels are in both walking distance of Epcot and Hollywood yes. Studios, and they have boat access, and you can get on the Skyliner. So if I'm, so in my upcoming trip, I'm staying at the Yacht Club. We're going to get up and walk 6 minutes to the Epcot entrance, mm-hmm. or you can walk about 15 minutes to Hollywood Studios. If there's a boat, get on the boat. It's great. You don't have to collapse the stroller. They let you just roll it on. Mm-hmm. Same thing for the Skyliner. So those are my preference, is to stay back there. There's nothing better than leaving Epcot late at night with your screaming child mm-hmm. who doesn't want to walk all the way to the front of the park where the buses are, and you can be in your hotel room in 6 minutes.
Right.
Like, to me, that is worth the extra money. So those are my preferences on hotels. Now, I realize that not everyone wants to spend that much on a hotel room. Mm-hmm. So I have a couple of tips that we did before George, which I think you could do also with kids. You can walk out the back of Epcot and go to the Beach Club lobby, which is the closest one, mm-hmm. and call your Uber or your Lyft from there. So maybe you don't want to spend the $500 or $600 to stay there, but you can spend the extra $20 to catch the Lyft and get home, and you have a very similar experience, especially at night. I feel like right. the end of the day is when that mm-hmm. time is really valuable. The mornings, you know, you can account for that, especially kids are up early anyway. But nothing's worse than a really crowded bus that you had to wait three buses for at night with your children. So those are my preferences. From there, I think if you have kids that really like a theme, or really enjoy, they're going to spend a lot of time at the pool, you would really look at those. I have not spent a lot of time there. I'm not opposed to an all-star if your kids really like the theming. You know, kids love those hotels, but they're also the farthest from the parks.
I will tell you that with Parker, when we went for Mardi Gras, my sister and them, they were on a budget. I mean, who isn't with a baby? And they stayed at an all-star, and she said that their biggest regret was staying at an all-star with a little, because I think Parker had just turned one also. And what they didn't like about it wasn't the travel. They were fine with that. It was how loud it was there. And it, and Parker is a very scheduled baby, and she went to sleep. She goes to sleep 7:30 every night, and everybody woke her up because, you know, everybody's coming back, and that's such a large resort that, you know, and it's very, very loud and busy. So it woke her up a lot, and she said that they would pay the extra money just to have a smaller resort. You know, the more expensive ones are smaller and kind of quieter.
Sure. Well, and I would say maybe if I had to say what's the best overall bang for your buck family hotel, it may be the Pop Century, where it's a value resort, but it is on the Skyliner. So you do have optional transportation to Hollywood Studios and Epcot. So you're at least cutting down on some of that time, but you're still in that value category. I don't know about the noise levels there. I know that's also a massive hotel. But that may be a good option as well. I think that the addition of the Skyliner at Pop has really added to its value.
I agree.
Yeah, and outside of that, I would go walking distance, then monorail. Mm-hmm. If you could be on the monorail. And from there, all the rest are kind of a toss-up for me in terms of transportation.
Right.
But anything that has something alternative to only the bus is going to be a better option for
me. I mean, that's where I'm at in life now, and I don't even have little kids anymore. Like, I'm all about convenience. And when my husband goes, we pay the extra for the convenience. If I go with Jeffrey,
it's all about what you want to spend your money on. When we go, we don't do a ton of sit-downs. We don't buy a ton of souvenirs. I would rather spend my money on just making the experience more enjoyable than fighting that. So, what else you got, Jeffrey?
Good point. Good points all around. So let's head to the parks, because I mean, that's kind of where a big struggle is. You know, there's, you know, you're in the parks, you're not in the hotel room, you are, you know, out dealing with the elements and people and all that kind of stuff. So we want all the park tips you can get. The first one, I want to come back to something you said earlier. If you did not bring your own stroller to Disney, you didn't want to deal with it on the plane or stuff it in the car or whatever, can you just go to the front of the park and rent a stroller? I mean, is there a company that you work with? Like, do either of y'all know how that works? Because,
well, they have both. I think you can rent directly through Disney in the front, but there are also companies in Orlando that rent strollers, cribs, car seats, things like that, where you would have it the whole time. And actually, that was a good point on the hotels. Because it's Disney, all the hotels come with cribs, which is nice. You don't have to worry about traveling with that or packing your own crib. But yeah, you can rent a stroller. I haven't personally done it. It sounds like Lori has, though.
Yeah, I did. I used to rent them whenever my kids were little. And they actually just got new ones, like the month before we went for Mardi Gras. Like I said, we didn't do it for Parker. But you just pay per day. And if you do it ahead of time, you can get a discount. Like if you were there a week and you're going to be there a week, you get them, but you pick them up at the beginning of the day at the front of the parks, and then you just turn them in. Like I said, I wouldn't do it now. My kids are old. I wouldn't do it now. So I don't know. I know that people do it. And if you didn't bring one, if your kid got tired, you can just go grab one. Like, hey, today my kid wants a stroller. So if you have the one.
Lori, do you remember at what age you quit getting a stroller for your kids?
Yeah. So
because of all the walking.
I'm a kind of mean mom, and but we're also like, we take a lot of breaks. So I didn't like wear my kids out probably four or five.
Okay.
Yeah. I know people do it much older than that. 7, 8. Nah, I didn't do that.
Yeah. That's what, now I haven't experienced this personally yet, but I mean, it's very common for us to walk 30,000 steps in a day when we're in Disney World. Yeah. That's just a normal day. And I mean, for a 6-year-old, I think that would be tough. So yeah, I think it's okay. My point is that I think it's okay and almost recommended to have your strollers even when your kids are older, just out of the convenience.
Well, for that age, I think that if your kids are kind of fussy and they're tired, being sick, that at that point, I think that's when you can go, hey, let me go rent one from the park. Okay, let me just go grab one.
See, you said mean, but I would say I'm the crazy mom who would say, if you're going to be slow, you're going to have a stroller.
Yeah, I get that too. Yep.
And so one thing I had to be aware of when I was there at Mardi Gras, I was there with my godson and nephew, and we had strollers, and that was like a big thing for me to learn. of how to do that, but it's stroller parking. And I think you had to be aware of where your stroller parking is going to be. And maybe this is a practical tip. Make your, if, especially if you're renting a Disney stroller, which I think our group did, make your stroller stand out somehow, because all the strollers look the same.
The cast members will move your stroller.
Oh, that's a big ordeal. Mm-hmm.
A big thing. So a lot of people will do like a balloon or a ribbon, you know.
A ribbon.
That's a great tip, because there were a couple times where we came out and couldn't find our stroller.
You can buy
it to mess with us.
Now, yeah. Like on Etsy, like my sister bought something and it looked like the cast member name tags, and it had Parker stroller or something on it.
Yeah, really cute stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just some general tips. So my number one tip I tell anyone going to Disney World is to make sure that you get there early and rope drop. I think it's very important to do it with your kids as well. And I mentioned this earlier, your kids are up anyway. You know, it's not like you're sleeping in, at least not for me. My kid's up at the crack of dawn. And I've always been a rope dropper. Jeffrey always makes fun of me, but in the last probably 6 times I've gone to Disney World, I've been the first person on Space Mountain every time. It's getting ridiculous, honestly.
Every time.
That I'm like beating high school kids to Space Mountain, but you know,
she will run over your child. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. So last time I went, I was still the first person with Baby Swap B in Scandin, and we'll discuss that. So, but I mean, nothing beats getting there really early and getting all those rides under your belt and basically making it to where you have a big chunk of your day where you can actually relax.
Right.
So that's what we do. We go early. It's not for everybody to do that. Clearly this is not a relaxing vacation for me. If you want it to be a relaxing vacation, don't do anything I say. But we go, we knock out a bunch of stuff, and then we get to spend our time how we see fit. And if you've already done that, then you can go back to your hotel room. And again, those hotels that are close to the parks, you can go back and take a nap and not spend an hour on a bus getting back to your hotel back and forth. So we would do that. If George is really, really fussy, go back to the hotel, have a nice, cool lunch break, and then come back in the afternoon once the sun and the crowds have died down. We also got very good at finding nice, quiet spots in the parks. One of the best ones that we found, I don't know if y'all know about it, y'all probably do, at the base of Big Thunder Railroad, all the way on the lake, there is a pier, and there are about 4 rocking chairs down there in the shade. That is a great place to sit and let your kids nap while you're down there. So that's what I would suggest, getting there early and then finding a nice quiet spot and actually getting to enjoy the scenery and relax and do it. And my husband actually had a really great tip. He suggested when baby goes down to nap, if they're napping in their stroller, go somewhere quiet, but that's near big rides that they couldn't ride. Because what we did is sitting down there at the base of Big Thunder and Splash Mountain was we took turns riding those rides while the other one sat with him sleeping. So we were able to knock out the big rides with the baby swap while he was napping, and he didn't miss out on anything he couldn't have done anyway.
That's a great point, but we have a question from a listener, Jessica A. What is Baby Swap? Like, what are you talking about, Olivia?
Sure. So Baby Swap is a really great solution that Disney has come up with for families who have small children that either aren't tall enough to ride the big rides or are not ready to ride the big rides. So if you have a family of 4 and the one child is old enough to ride everything and one isn't, you can, let's do Space Mountain. You go, all 4 of you go to Space Mountain. The 2 that want to ride, so mom and oldest child, go up there. Dad and baby are going to hang back. Dad scans his magic band as a baby swap. And then mom and older son can ride. When they come back, dad can then ride through the lightning lane. So he doesn't have to wait in the regular line. Now they've changed some of the rules. It used to be a really good loophole where if you had a big group, everyone could basically ride twice except for one person. Now the new rule only allows 2 people on the ride the second time. So for instance, I believe older son could ride twice with mom, but if there was another person, you couldn't. You could only do two people on the second ride. So, you know, like all things, people would try to get away with it. I would probably have been one of those people, but they closed the loophole before I had a child. But it's still a really great way for everyone to ride. In fact, when the first time we took George, it was just me, Beau, and George. And we didn't really know how the trip was going to be because we didn't have anyone to watch him while we rode. But we still rode everything we wanted to. Now, we did have to ride it alone. Right. And so there's still the downside there. But when Jeffrey goes with us in September, he's going to get a big benefit because he's going to get to ride it with me and with Beau.
All right. So. This podcast is being recorded, Olivia. I will hold you to this. We will be in the middle of Disney World, and I will pull out this podcast. You have now announced to all of our Southern Charm listeners that I get it. Well, I think you said, like, I may be in competition with some of our other friends that are going. But no, I'm hoping that is the case. So we have to make that happen for sure.
But yeah. So the gist of it is you just need to go find the cast member at the start of the ride and tell them you want baby swap and they'll walk you straight through it. It is available on every ride with a height requirement. And I think it's also available on a couple of scary or dark rides.
Yes.
But anything with a height requirement, you can do baby swap on.
The cast members require the baby to be with you when you ask for the baby swap. Not all of
them. Yeah. They were pretty, the bigger the ride, the more common that's going to be.
Yeah.
We were able to kind of get away with it with the rope drops by just like pointing and waving as we like frantically walked as the first person getting on Space Mountain, like, see you later, Dad. And they let us do it there because I was going to hold up that whole line. Right. But yeah, the hardest one for us was Flight of Passage. They gave us a really hard time on that one for some reason. Like they counted the heads a couple of times. But cast members are pretty good about telling you what needs to be done.
Right, right.
So yeah, I think that's the important point. Go to the cast members, have your magic band ready or your phone, because I know they're using the phones now.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm pro magic band. I would, you know. Yeah, I
think. Or you can get a card too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been the other thing they do. Olivia, one thing that's completely mysterious to me, I got to use Baby Swap on a recent trip, but one place I've never been, and I only know where one of them is, something called the Baby Care Center.
Oh, they're the best. I didn't know about these either until I had a child.
Explain what it is, what this is, and where we can find them.
So there are baby care centers in all four parks. They're kind of hidden. You have to look for them. But they're basically like baby Mecca. So you go into here and there are basically almost like dressing rooms, but they're pretty spacious. You get, they all have changing pads so you can change your kids in private. There's nursing rooms. Mm-hmm. It's AC'd. There's also an attendant, but they also have like anything you would possibly need for your kid that you forgot. Diapers, wipes, medicine. We bought baby Tylenol when we were there. George was not feeling great. Of course, it comes with a Disney price tag, but when you realize you forgot your diapers, it's a little bit of a panic. They also had some just rooms with rocking chairs. They had some TVs playing, but just really nice to know that you could just go in there and relax with your child. And so where they are, they move them around based on construction. So I believe Magic Kingdoms is behind Crystal Palace over there by Casey's Corner, where I think First Aid is back there as well. Mm-hmm. When I went, it was in a temporary building by Space Mountain, but I believe it's back.
It's back.
So I haven't been since it's back, and I'm sure that they probably updated it some. So yeah, maybe even
that's
nicer.
When they changed it to the Alice in Wonderland theme.
Okay. Yeah. So I haven't seen that yet. There are also bathrooms in these too. So they're a lot of times really empty in there.
Yeah.
All right. So that one's at Magic Kingdom. Epcot is behind Mexico, between Test Track and Mexico in that building.
I don't know about that.
What is the name of that building, Jeffrey?
The Odyssey?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? That's where the baby care center is? I have no idea where the other three are.
If you're coming up from Mexico and you are going towards Teshrac, you stay towards the right, it's back behind that building.
Yes.
Really?
Okay. I'll point Animal Kingdom. Yeah, Animal Kingdoms is, if you're going into the park and heading towards Pandora, don't turn where Pandora is and keep walking, and it's right up there on the left across from the Tree of Life. And Hollywood Studios is, sorry, I'm racking my brain. Hollywood Studios is right when you walk in on the left.
Okay. Hmm. All right. Because they sound like they're hidden, because I know the locations you're talking about.
They are. It's like you don't notice them until you have a kid. It's like all of a sudden you put on glasses and they appear.
Nice. So it sounds like that's
an important proof resource. You don't have a kid, Jeffrey.
Proof I don't. Yeah, I did travel with them last time, but I don't think we really used, I don't think the parents that were with us used the baby care center.
I think they're a really great resource. Another tip, I'm laughing, but it's really not funny. If your child is ever lost in the park, that's also where they take lost children to be found.
How did you know that?
I Googled it.
Oh, sure, sure.
I had no idea.
Right. I thought
Georgia's not large enough to be lost yet.
No. Olivia, I could have sworn that lost kids are put permanently in It's a Small World. I thought that's where the lost kids go.
No, on Peter Pan.
Oh, on Peter Pan. Okay, excuse me. The lost boys and all that. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they had to sing It's a Small World forever. So
yeah.
So yeah, you have to stay with your parents.
So if you ever lose your child and you're frantic, that's where Disney brings children that they can't find their parents.
Okay, well, that is good. Hopefully no one ever needs that advice.
Hopefully no one ever needs that, but good to know if you do.
That is good to know. That's a good pro tip there. So you kind of mentioned this earlier, we talked about the height restrictions, and we know Disney does a pretty good job of publicizing those. And so a lot of people may turn to the shows and think that all the shows are okay to bring the kids. Are there any shows that kids that you may want to avoid bringing the babies or the younger kids?
So I think there's a show you're probably alluding to, and I did bring my child on It's Tough to Be a Bug, and he did not like it, but I told him to rub some dirt on it. I mean, It's Tough to Be a Bug gets a little terrifying for anyone in the middle. We did not do a ton of shows last time. It was still COVID, and a lot of them were not up. Yeah. So I don't have a lot of personal experience with the shows. I'm excited. I think Fantasmic may be back when we go in September.
Oh, I hope so.
So I will certainly, it's back in Disneyland. Yeah. So I'm hoping, I'm being hopeful.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I did take him to the Muppets. He loved the Muppets.
Hmm.
So
Lion King wasn't running, but I would think that would be fine.
What about Indiana Jones?
It's Tough to Be a Bug is really the scariest.
Yeah.
You know, Indiana Jones isn't too much.
It wasn't open when I was there either. Okay. It's loud, but I've also taken him to Tiger Stadium, so it would probably be fine.
There. So if your baby can
and the Superdome.
Tiger Stadium and the Superdome, they can survive.
And Jazz Fest.
The Disney shows. You have a little Jazz Fest in baby, Olivia. That is too funny. Well, we have some more questions from Evangeline. Listener, sure. Evangeline A, what, and this is one of my favorite topics, is food. Are there any particular restaurants you think are better? And so her question is, best per value, if you have anything about per value of the food, but also maybe for characters. And I don't know, that may be the same answer or maybe different. What do you think?
Well, I mean, nothing is really a great value in Disney.
Ooh.
It's all about what you are willing to put your price tag on. Now, I said earlier that we're not huge fans of sit downs. When we do a sit down, it's a character meal. And I'll go through what I think are the best character meals. And in terms of value, I mean, when I say best, the prices are not very different for the character meals. They're all in the same range, but more about, you know, quality of the food, atmosphere, honestly, what the characters are wearing. It's important. So my favorite quick services are all, again, built around logistics. So we're big fans of Columbia Harbor House, and I'll tell you why. In Magic Kingdom,
yeah.
In Liberty Square, there. It's huge. It has a massive upstairs. And I feel like people don't realize it has a massive upstairs. And I hate fighting for seats. I'm not a fan. I want to just get a table. I don't want to wait. I'm really impatient. It feels like Black Friday sometimes when you're trying to find somewhere to sit at a restaurant.
Awful.
And I never have problems there finding a seat.
It's,
it's air conditioned. If you sit near a window upstairs, you can get a great view of people walking by in a haunted mansion, which I've already told you I love. Con, there's no elevator. So if you have a stroller, you have to make your husband carry it up. Nice. Worth
your
it.
Poor husband.
So he's just burning off those chicken tenders. Also, my husband loves that restaurant because they have massive servings. So like I never even ordered George food there. I just feed him off of my food because
That's a huge,
huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in terms of value,
share.
Yeah. Find places with bigger serving sizes. I really like the Columbia Harbor House. It's hard to convince me not to eat there in Magic Kingdom for a quick service. From there, and I have the same, I like the Backlot Express at Hollywood Studios, also massive. They also have, unless they've changed it, because they always are, they're one of the only places that has free refills on your drinks. So I think there's only like two or three places in all of Disney World that you can get free refills. So value there as well. And in terms of food, both of those places have standard Disney food. Columbia Harbor House has some seafood options if you are in the mood for seafood.
Yeah.
But the food is fine. And then, let's see, Epcot, we almost never have an actual meal because there's always a festival, seems like, almost the entire year. And we just kind of snack and drink along the way. Kind of a secret, backdoor recommendation in Epcot, if you happen to be there in the 2 months a year that there's not a festival. We went to the beer garden in Germany, and if you have kids that are not babies, but maybe in like 4 to 8, I think they might would really enjoy it. It's a buffet. It has mostly German food. They do have delicious macaroni, but they put on a German show and they invite the kids up to play with the band. It's really kind of a good time. Jeffrey, didn't you go with us one time?
I did. Yeah. Lori, you still haven't been yet, right?
No, I haven't.
Lori needs to go because I was very impressed by the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Olivia and I went to real Germany together, to a real beer garden. And this is a lot more of the Disney version, which I appreciate. Now the food, I was not, both of y'all know my appetite.
It's German food. So,
schnitzel and sausage and things of that nature. But the atmosphere in there is incredible. It's very similar to Mexico, I would say, right?
Yeah, it's, you feel fully immersed, which is kind of, it is nice to, go in there and there are no windows. It looks like you're in Germany, in Munich, very Bavarian in there. And I am also not a huge fan of German food, but I was able to find enough food to eat. Plus they serve giant beers as well. So, fun for the whole family.
Yeah, I'll have to go.
So
you need to go.
Character meals.
Character.
So, big fan of Ohana. I know Jeffrey is as well. I don't know how you feel, Lori.
I had a really bad experience, and I think that's why I didn't.
Well, was it the dinner or night?
Because it was at breakfast. It was at breakfast, I think. I don't know.
Well, and important to note, Ohana does not have characters at dinner. They only have it at breakfast.
Right.
So, but it's very popular. One I'm going to try to do on my next trip is Tusker House at Animal Kingdom. It is a full character meal. I've heard really great things. I've not personally been yet. I think Jeffrey has. Again, I talked about costumes and the characters are in their safari outfits. Mm-hmm. Really cute. But my goal here, and remember, my overarching theme is logistics, is Animal Kingdom opens up so darn early. We'll be there, at 7 a.m. But you can't park off until 2. So what I'm hoping to do is rope drop Animal Kingdom and get a late Tusker House breakfast reservation, like 10:45, 11. So we could go basically do the whole park, do our late character breakfast, and then either go back to the hotel until 2 and go to Epcot, or stay there until 2, depending on how long it takes.
That's exactly what we did for Mardi Gras.
And it works out well.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm hoping I can get the reservation window hasn't opened yet. But I've heard really good things about Tusker House. Yeah, really I think good. If you are just breakfast. Looking for like classic historical Mickey Mouse, Chef Mickey's, it's controversial, but it's also very hard to get. Yes. The very first time I ever went to Disney World when I was 7, we went to Chef Mickey's. And I remember it. So, you know, you can't really go wrong. And then another tip, there is seasonal character dining mm-hmm. at Hollywood Studios in Hollywood and Vine. And it changes throughout the year, but it's almost open all year long. Mm-hmm. But people aren't as aware of it. So it's a little bit easier of a reservation to get. So for instance, we're going in September and they have Minnie's Halloween dine. Mm-hmm. So it's a Halloween themed character dinner. I think that I would be very open to trying this. Some people have even suggested that if you can't make the Halloween party, it's a nice sub where you can still get that festive vibe without committing to the whole Halloween party, which is tough with kids that go to bed early.
Right.
So I think there's also a spring dine and maybe a Christmas dine.
Yeah, I did the Christmas one. It was cute.
Yeah. How was the food?
I had dinner for the Christmas one and it was not my favorite at all. But we did breakfast. Didn't you come meet us over there, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I did at Hollywood.
It was decent.
I've never been there before.
Yeah, the breakfast.
I think the breakfast is what is it? Disney Junior themed.
Yeah, it was a Disney Junior
Minnie or something. I can't remember.
I don't know who they were, Olivia. I think it was.
I think there's Vampirina.
Yeah, and I was gonna say Sophia. She's been gone.
I don't really know the Disney Junior characters that well, but
like they had some classic characters too.
Okay, because I know the other one right now is Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy.
I think.
Yeah, and then I know y'all are big fans of Topolino's Terrace, which I have not been to yet, but I would love to as well. So in terms of value, you know, I think having the characters there definitely add to it. The character meals cost a little bit more, but they're certainly not the most expensive dining in Disney. Since we're talking about kids, that's the ones I would do. And also, what are your kids' favorite characters? Like, mine loves Winnie the Pooh. If Crystal Palace has characters back when we go, we're going to go to Crystal Palace and see Winnie the Pooh. So if your kids really love Snow White, then you probably want to go to Wilderness Lodge. Right. And what is it called? Color Point?
Artist Point.
So in terms of value, like, I would go to the Princess Breakfast, which is not back yet. But if you have a daughter that is obsessed with the princesses and you can go pay to see them all and not have to stand in line all day waiting to meet them, it's worth the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a question. Evangeline had another question about that. And to that point, so if your child does have a favorite Disney character, how do you find out where they are? Like, what's the way best way to find out where the
characters are? So if you're already in the parks, I believe in the app, it tells you where the character meets are throughout the day. Some are scheduled and you can get lightning lanes for them. Some are random. COVID has kind of made it less predictable. But I feel like during COVID, I saw more characters without searching for them.
Yes.
Like they were just available, which is kind of great. I liked that. Do you know if they still give out those little pamphlets at the front?
No, I think so, but I don't think
with the character time?
No, I have not seen one of those. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I assume it's just all in the app now, if they're starting to even schedule them yet. But also if you're looking for what characters are at what meal, I always just Google it, but it is subject to change, unfortunately. Right. So I would check it as close as possible to see if anything has changed.
We have been seeing so many changes, especially since COVID, with who's at where and when.
For the most part, the changes are good. Like Beast is not back at Be Our Guest, but he's been making appearances. So they're not going to advertise that he's there, but he may show up. And I think the same thing at Cinderella.
I was about to say the same thing at Cinderella, the castle.
Yeah.
So we and Laura have talked at length about, you know, some of our favorite character meals. I really love breakfast. I've only been once, but 1900 Park Fair was awesome. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of different characters. But Lori's favorite breakfast is?
Topolino.
Wait, did Topolino dethrone Garden Grill? Because Garden Grill is your favorite.
Well, Garden Grill doesn't, they're not back either.
Oh, their characters still aren't
back? I think they're back.
Not the breakfast.
Oh, yeah, just the
late breakfast the was my absolute favorite of all time in Disney World at Garden Grill. But they're not back, so Topolino has moved in.
No, Topolino is great. Topolino,
yeah.
And so Topolino is similar to Ohana in that the characters are only there at breakfast.
Yeah.
And then at dinner, it's a different atmosphere. I love Topolino for both breakfast with the characters and for dinner with the nicer environment. Like at dinner, it's a nicer, kind of classier environment. Yeah,
that was my husband's favorite restaurant at dinner. But he had it for breakfast our last trip, and he loved it then too. We just love it.
I love it. And so, Olivia, that's our recommendation to you.
One, though, is a little more pricey than most character dining. So just for people, if they were wanting to do cheaper ones, I wouldn't.
To answer Evangeline's question, no, that is not where your value is.
It should have researched what the most economical character meal is.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we need, the point there is probably the all you can eat.
Yeah.
A Crystal Palace.
You just have to beat them.
That's the thing. I mean, that I think that really is the question, because I think a lot of like the price fix meals, like, I think Topolino is, maybe
it is, and I think Hollywood and Vine is too.
Yeah,
they might have changed it back to a buffet, but that breakfast was a price fix.
Yeah, so I mean, like it really depends on how much you eat. You know, it really does. But if you go to an all-you-can-eat type of environment, like Whispering Canyon is one of my favorite all-you-can-eats. Obviously, Ohana. You know, you can absolutely get the bang for your buck there if you're going to eat a ton. But, you know, maybe, you know, you're going to end up paying, you know, $30, $40, I think, at like Topolino for like pancake eggs and, you know, a drink or whatever. And so that's a decision call that you have to make.
So I actually just Googled it, and it says Crystal Palace is the cheapest when they're there. They're not there when right they're now. There. Okay. And it says for Mickey Mouse, Tusker House is the cheapest.
Oh, and that's
so good to know.
That is good to know. I will say that I love Crystal Palace all meals. I've now been for, I think, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I love the food. I like the food there, and I love a buffet. And I know that surprises a bunch of people.
I know it.
Oh, God. Well, that wraps up our questions from our listeners and from us. But Olivia, any last bits of advice that you want to give to parents bringing their kids?
Just do it. Don't be afraid to do it. It's a very different experience than going as an adult, but it's a really great experience. And being able to see the excitement through their eyes, I'm even more excited because now when we go, he's going to recognize even more. So I think a lot of people are afraid to take their kids places, but we take the parenting choice that George comes with us. We don't go with George. So like I said, I bring him to Jazz Fest. I bring him to football game. And traveling is not any different. Open their eyes, experience it through them. You will have a little bit of a slower day, but that's not always a bad thing.
Yeah.
And if you would have previously only gone for 3 days, you might want to go for 4 days just to make sure that you can do everything that you want to do, or 4 to 5, whatever you can do. And if you can't afford some of these higher end options, do what you can afford. You're still going to have an amazing trip. Disney's going to make sure of that. So I just say, just do it.
I agree. And like I said earlier with just you, I think that even if they don't remember it, you are going to remember the magic in your kids' eyes. You'll remember that forever and ever.
I love it. Well, Olivia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
As always, to our listeners, if y'all have any questions, please reach out to us. I think I have plenty of Disney pictures with me and Olivia, which I'll be sharing on our social media pages. And if you have any questions for her, send it to the page and we will pass that on to her. And obviously, talk to our Disney travel planning expert, Lori, for all your questions as well. But again, our pages at Southern Charm Magic are open to y'all to help y'all with these questions. We hope y'all enjoyed this very much, and y'all got a lot from it. So, and we also hope y'all that it will be less than a month before you hear from me and Lori again. We promise we're going to try. We have a lot of great ideas coming up. Yes. So y'all stay tuned. And we thank Olivia so much for joining
us. Thank you, Olivia.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Southern Charm Magic.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under the handles of Southern Charmed Magic. Have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
Bye, y'all.